the emptiness of the body. Identifying the object of negation. The way to meditate on the emptiness of the body is similar to the way we meditate on the emptiness of the eye. First, we must identify the object of negation. Normally, when we think my body, a body that exists from its own side and is a single entity not depending upon its parts, appears to our mind. Such a body is the object of negation and is non-existent. Truly existent body, inherently existent body, and body that exists from its own side all have the same meaning, and all are objects of negation. Refuting the object of negation. If the body exists as it appears, it must exist in one of two ways. As its parts, or separate from its parts, there is no third possibility. If the body is one with its parts, is it the individual parts or the collection of its parts? If it is the individual parts, then is it the hands, the face, the skin, the bones, the flesh, or the internal organs? By checking carefully, is the head the body, is the flesh the body, and so on, we shall easily see that none of the individual parts of the body is the body. If the body is not its individual parts, is it the collection of its parts? The collection of the parts of the body cannot be the body. Why? The parts of the body are all non-bodies. So how can a collection of non-bodies be a body? The hands, feet, and so forth are all parts of the body, but not the body itself. Even though all these parts are assembled together, this collection remains simply parts. It does not magically transform into the part possessor, the body. If the body is not its parts, the only other possibility is that it is separate from its parts. But if all the parts of the body were to disappear, there would be nothing left that could be called the body. We should imagine that all the parts of our body melt into light and disappear. First the skin dissolves, then the flesh, blood, and internal organs, and finally the skeleton melts and vanishes into light. Is there anything left that is our body? There is nothing. There is no body separate from its parts. We have now exhausted all possibilities. The body is not its parts, and it is not separate from its parts. Clearly, the body cannot be found. Where previously there appeared an inherently existent body, there now appears an absence of that body. This absence of an inherently existent body is the emptiness of the body. Recognizing this absence to be the lack of an inherently existent body, we meditate on it single-pointedly. Once again, we should examine our meditation with alertness to make sure that we are meditating on the emptiness of the body and not on nothingness. If we lose the meaning of emptiness, we should return to the contemplations to restore it. As with the eye, the fact that the body cannot be found upon investigation does not imply that the body does not exist at all. The body does exist, but only as a conventional imputation. In accordance with accepted convention, we can impute body to the assembly of limbs, trunk, and head. But if we try to pinpoint the body, hoping to find a substantially existent phenomenon to which the word body refers, we find no body. This unfindability of the body is the emptiness of the body, the ultimate nature of the body. The body that exists as mere imputation is the conventional nature of the body. Although it is incorrect to assert that the body is identical with the collection of the limbs, trunk, and head, there is no fault in saying that the body is imputed upon this collection. Even though the parts of the body are plural, the body is singular. Body is simply an imputation made by the mind that imputes it. it does not exist from the object's side. There is no fault in imputing a singular phenomenon to a group of many things. For example, we can impute the singular forest to a group of many trees, or herd to a group of many cows. All phenomena exist by way of convention. Nothing is inherently existent. This applies to mind, Buddha, and even to emptiness itself. Everything is merely imputed by mind. All phenomena have parts, because physical phenomena have physical parts, and non-physical phenomena have various attributes that can be distinguished by thought. Using the same type of reasoning as mentioned before, we can realize that any phenomenon is not one of its parts, not the collection of its parts, and not separate from its parts. In this way, we can realize the emptiness of all phenomena. It is particularly helpful to meditate on the emptiness of objects that arouse in us strong delusions, such as attachment or anger. By analyzing correctly, we shall realize that the object we desire, or the object we dislike, does not exist from its own side. Its beauty or ugliness, and even its very existence, are imputed by mind. By thinking in this way, we shall discover that there is no basis for attachment or anger. Due to our bad mental habits arising through beginningless familiarity with self-grasping ignorance, whatever appears to our mind appears to exist from its own side. This appearance is utterly mistaken. In fact, phenomena are completely empty of existing from their own side. Phenomena exist only through being imputed by mind. By familiarizing ourselves with this truth, we can eradicate self-grasping, the root of all delusions and faults. During the day, when we are not in meditation, we should try to recognize that whatever appears to our mind lacks true existence. In a dream, things appear vividly to the dreamer. But when the dreamer wakes, he or she immediately realizes that the objects that appeared in the dream were just mental appearances that did not exist from their own side. We should view all phenomena in a similar way. Though they appear vividly to our mind, they lack inherent existence.